I struggle to call what I'm doing right now a sermon. It may be more of a meditation, a meandering meditation. To give you a little bit of background on this, back when we were having conversations about the vision statement, one of our members said, you know, I think it should have kind of a hint of a smile in it. Something, you know, a sense of that we want to be a joyful community. And I thought that was a good idea. And it was hard to fit that into the statement itself. But I do think it's an appropriate kind of guiding principle to live by as a community, that we want to be joyful and we have reason to be joyful. And so, back when I planned this whole sermon series about the vision throughout the fall, I had looked at Deuteronomy 16, which are these this passage about the holidays that Israel was supposed to celebrate, and I thought it was appropriate to do it this week, right after one of our holidays, where we're called to celebrate and give thanks, because that's what these holidays in Deuteronomy 16 are about. And I thought these would be good passages, because God actually commands us to rejoice and to celebrate. But then as I read, I got into the whole topic of not just how joy plays into the community of faith, but how all of our emotions appropriately come into play in the gospel life. I think that the whole range of human emotion have their place as we try to follow Jesus and live spiritually. And I think we see that in the Bible, and I think we want to live that out as a community. And so as we think about our vision statement, living the gospel life together, I would offer to you this morning that the gospel life is emotional. Emotions play a big role in the gospel life, and so that's where we will begin this meandering meditation. I was thinking a little bit about what it means to be healthy emotionally. Maybe this is because Lauren is a mental health therapist. I don't know, but it's a term that came to my mind, emotional health. How do we judge our feelings? And I think that's kind of a hard thing to do. Emotions are hard to judge. It's hard to say that a feeling is right or wrong. All of our emotions are human emotions. It's not that anger is wrong and happiness is good. You know, they're appropriate in different contexts. There's a time where it is appropriate to be angry, a time where it's appropriate to be joyful. I think more than saying that emotions are right or wrong, I think that emotions reveal the condition of our soul. So when certain circumstances, when we encounter certain circumstances, these circumstances and our souls combine to produce certain emotions. And the condition of our soul is what determines what emotions we will experience in a certain circumstance, if that makes sense. To illustrate the point, I think our emotions are kind of like our blood pressure number. So if you go into the doctor and your blood pressure is like 200 over 150, you wouldn't say that that number is wrong. You would just say that there is something going on inside your body that might need to be addressed, right? It reveals the condition of your body. And that's kind of what emotions are. They reveal the condition of our souls. Now, just like our bodies, our emotions can get a little out of whack. We can be emotionally unhealthy. So if you experience more sadness and despair when your favorite team loses a football game, and I had this whole thing written out, not even thinking about that I was going to be preaching on Sunday after this game, but if that affects you more deeply emotionally than like walking by a homeless man on the street, that might show something about what's going on in your soul. Or if you got more excited for Black Friday sales and the good deals you were going to get on something than, you know, when you hear the gospel or see someone come to know Christ and be restored and experience the healing in their spirits, that's something we might want to look at in the soul level. It's not that your emotions were wrong. It's just that they might not be reflecting a healthy soul. And most of us, all of us, probably including myself, fall into some of these unhealthy emotional patterns. That's just part of being a human being in a broken and fallen world. We all have emotions that don't quite line up at times. But then I got to thinking, what would emotional health look like? And here's what I think as Christians or as human beings. Emotional health means that our emotions reflect God's heart. Emotional health means that our emotions reflect God's heart. So we should get the most joy out of the things that most delight God. We're told in Scripture that God delights when a sinner repents. We're told to rejoice when our names are written in the book of life. That our names are written in the book of life. Our choir actually sang a great song this morning that said, rejoice because of these things, because the kingdom of God is yours. You know, things like that. Those are the things that delight God, and ultimately those are the things that should bring us the most joy when our souls are healthy. And we should weep for things that break God's heart. We know that God's heart breaks over our sin that separates us from him, or the sin of others, or poverty, or abuse, or death. All of these things grieve God. And it is appropriate for us to weep and be sorrowful when we encounter these things. And I think we see that all emotions are appropriate when we look at the story of Jesus in John 11. And I think some of us think that as Christians we should be always happy, and that's not the case. Because Jesus, when he comes and sees Mary and Martha weeping over the death of their brother Lazarus, and when he encounters the grave of his friend, he weeps. This is an appropriate emotional response to something that grieves God's heart, death and loss. All of our emotions are God-given. They're human. None of them are bad in themselves. It's just that our emotions don't always line up with what God feels and experiences. The biblical principle here is that all things in this world are created good, but all things in this world can be twisted by sin and by the kind of diseasedness of this world that we live in. And emotions are the same. All emotions have their time and their place in the gospel life. So then, what does a culture look like that expresses, how do we cultivate a culture where we are emotionally healthy people? What would emotionally healthy community look like? And I was thinking about that question, and I thought all of us express emotions in some context. Right? There's some scenario that brings out emotion in all of us. Even for guys who, I think our culture generally tells guys shouldn't be very emotional. That's what our culture says. And I think that's an invention of maybe the last like 80 years in our culture. But that's neither here nor there. But I thought even guys, though, have times where they express their emotions. Where do a lot of guys express emotion? Football games. Yeah. Right? Sports. And I thought, why is that? Is it that sports are more important to us than anything else? And maybe that is true in some cases. But I think maybe it's more than that. Maybe sports have been effective in creating an emotional culture. And here's what I mean by that. If I go to a football game, or if I'm watching a football game with people, it's expected that I will express emotions, right? That's expected, that I'm going to stand and yell or give high fives or boo or something at a football game. And not only are emotions expected, but there are appropriate ways of expressing those emotions in a sports game. I know what an appropriate response is when my team scores a touchdown. I know what an appropriate response is when I'm angry at an official, right? Sports has created a fairly solid emotional culture where emotions are expected and there are ways to express those emotions. And I think that churches typically do a relatively poor job of creating a culture that helps us to express the range of human emotions fully and healthily. I think we want to be a community where emotions are expected and expressed, and yet at the same time we're not driven and controlled by our emotions. Okay? So moving on. That's what I think God is doing in Deuteronomy 16. Okay? I think that God, when he commands the people to rejoice, I don't think God is saying, okay, you have to feel this way at this moment. And he's asking people to fabricate or fake emotion. Okay? And that's a lot of times what churches do. You know, feel happy now, feel bad now, or, you know, mostly feel happy now. I don't think that's what God is doing. I think God is creating a culture where the full range of human emotions can be expressed appropriately, and a culture that helps the people's emotions line up with God's heart. So God is cultivating joy in his people by giving them these festivals and holidays. He's saying, rejoice, because you were delivered from slavery, and God's heart, it rejoices when people are liberated out of oppression. He says, take time and find joy in this. And he's cultivating joy in his people. And not just any joy, but joy because of the work of God. The liberating, restoring work of God. And I don't know if you caught this, but he also is cultivating compassion in his people. Did you notice that they are supposed to eat unleavened bread in the festival? And it's called the bread of affliction. And then in the festival of weeks, he says, remember that you were slaves in Egypt. He's saying, remember these things too. Why? To cultivate a spirit of compassion in his people. That they would be compassionate to the people who serve and work in their community. That they would be compassionate towards people who are oppressed and experience injustice. So God is cultivating this community where emotion is expected and people have opportunity to express those emotions. And not only that, but the people of God have a language of praise and lament. If you read the Psalms, you have this language that expresses all of human emotions, from anger to sadness to joy to uncertainty to fear to all kinds of emotions. They have this language, and Christians can draw on that language to know, how do we, if I'm feeling sorrowful, how can I express that? If I'm feeling joyful, what are some words I can use to praise God with that? And that's what God has given his people. Living the gospel life means bringing our whole selves into community with each other, including our emotions. And one little tangent there. Because we have different personalities, we will express our emotions in different ways. And that should be okay. But because of our personhood, we will express emotion. We will experience and we will express emotion as we live the gospel life. Okay. Last movement in this meditation. Talked a little bit about this word cultivating. Cultivating our emotions. Emotions cannot be controlled in the moment. But they can be cultivated. And that's, I think, what God asks us to do. So in the moment, I can't help if I feel happy or excited or sad or disappointed. I can't help that in the moment. But over time, I can cultivate my soul so that seeds of joy or sadness can grow in certain circumstances. For example, how many of you were like really thankful on Thanksgiving? You don't have to raise your hand. You can. I imagine that many of you were really thankful on Thanksgiving. I imagine that some of you were more stressed or anxious or like, why aren't I feeling so thankful? Because it's Thanksgiving. Right? You can't make yourself feel thankful on Thanksgiving Day. You can't go back and change that, and I can't make you feel thankful right now. But you can cultivate a thankful spirit. I know some of you who are on Facebook participated in this like 30 days of thankfulness. And every day, people would post a particular thing that they're thankful for. That's cultivating a spirit of thankfulness. And a person who is doing that throughout the 21 days or whatever before Thanksgiving is more likely to really feel thankful on Thanksgiving Day. You can cultivate thankfulness by remembering times in your life when God has come through and by sharing those with other people. You can cultivate thankfulness by spending time with people who are really joyful despite having nothing materially. All of these things are ways that you can cultivate a thankful spirit. even if you can't control whether you immediately experience thankfulness. I can't make myself feel compassion for people in poverty. Some of you may feel naturally, and I'm not saying I'm not one of these people, but some of you may naturally feel compassion when you walk by a homeless person on the street. Some of you may not. Some of you may experience some sort of like disdain for them even. Or, you know, why don't they get a job or something like that? That might be the natural thing that comes to your mind and in your heart. And in that moment, you can't control that, what you think and feel when you walk by that person on the street. But God gives us ways to cultivate a compassionate spirit. Spending time at Tent City among people who many of whom do experience homelessness. Coming to Feed My Sheep and sitting down at a table and hearing people's stories about their lives and why they might need that meal on Tuesday night. Fasting as a way of identifying with people who don't have much. Reflecting on how Jesus treats the people who were poor that he encountered. All of these practices are things that cultivate this compassionate spirit in us, so that when we pass by that homeless person, maybe a year down the road or 10 years down the road, our emotions have changed. Our natural emotions and feelings have changed towards that person. Does that all make sense? The difference between not being able to control our emotions but being able to cultivate them? The last thing is our emotions will naturally be stimulated by the things that we put at the center of our lives. Okay? So if finances, if money is at the center of your life, you will find your greatest joy on Black Friday. And you will find your greatest despair, you will feel the greatest despair when an unexpected bill or expense comes. Those things will draw out your emotions more than anything else. If at the center of your life is finding a mate, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a husband, or a wife, then your greatest joys and your greatest despair is going to come in relation to those things. If sports is at the center of your life, then when your team wins, it's going to make your week. If your team loses, you're going to be down. You're going to be waking up sad every day for a long time. And I have been in all of these situations. Okay. Our emotions reveal what is at the center of your life. So ask yourself, where do my emotions really come out most strongly? And is that what I really want to be at the center of my life? I think as Christians and in the church, we want to be creating consistent patterns of life that draw us into God's heart, so that our joys and our sorrows and everything in between line up with what God experiences given certain circumstances. So, in conclusion, my desire for this community is twofold as we look ahead and who we want to be. One, that we would be authentic, emotionally authentic. So this, we don't want this to be a place where you have to come and fabricate emotion or fake emotion or hide your emotions. We want to be a place where the whole range of human emotion is expected. And we can be authentic with those. And second, we want to be a place that's transformational. So we need to let our emotions be windows into our souls. And if we look through our emotions and see something in our soul that we don't really like, then we practice practices that cultivate a soul that responds differently in our emotions. I think those are two things that I would like to be a part of this community, that we take emotion seriously in these two ways. The gospel life is an emotional life because the gospel story is an emotional story, ultimately. It's a story that begins with wide-eyed awe at a God who comes into nothingness and creates a beautiful world. And very soon turns into the horror of seeing how sin separates us from God and breaks this world. And then moves through the sometimes thrilling and sometimes heart-wrenching story of Israel as they move closer to God and then turn away from him and back and forth. And then goes into the wonder of the manger on Christmas and a God who would come to be with us. in the exciting and confusing and surprising and disorienting life of Jesus as he teaches and heals. And then to the devastating pain and sorrow of the cross. And ultimately into the joyful, triumphant joy of the empty tomb on Easter. The gospel story includes every emotion that we can imagine. So as we live the gospel life together, we will be experiencing and expressing and cultivating the full range of human emotions together. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for making us human, for giving us all of the experiences, all of the emotions that we experience. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would be a place where we can encounter and express our emotions. And I pray that we would be a place that is cultivating our emotions so that our hearts can beat with your heart, that we can feel what you feel, and that we can respond as you respond, whether in joy or compassion, mercy or sorrow. Joy. Lord, make us into that kind of community. Make us into that kind of people. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.